We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
When they came to the place that is called Golgotha, there they crucified him. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want you to see that. I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it. I want you to believe it. Jesus Christ upon the cross, his arms outstretched in proffered embrace, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want you to see that, hear that, feel that, believe that. Because this is the crucified God. The crucified God. As Christians, we have a sacred text, Holy Scripture, the Bible. But the Bible is a large and unwieldy book, composed, created, collected, compiled over 1,000 years. And to read the Bible right, you have to stand in the right place. Where shall we stand in the Bible to get the right perspective for the rest of Scripture? How are we to read it? Where are we to stand? Is it Moses giving the law? Is it Joshua slaughtering the Canaanites? Is it Job's trials or Revelation's visions? Where do we stand to rightly read the Bible? We stand right here. We stand right here on Good Friday at the cross, observing a dying Jesus, praying to his Father to forgive his killers. That's where we stand. If you want to read the Bible right, read it from the perspective of the cross. Read everything in Scripture through the lens of this moment. This Good Friday moment, Christ upon the cross saying, "Father, forgive them." That's the place you stand. If you want to get God right, you understand him as revealed in Christ. Jesus Christ is the defining Word of God. This is what we were celebrating 4 months ago during Advent and Christmas. The Word became flesh, the Logos of God, the eternal divine Logos of God. The logic of God became flesh. Why? So that at last we could have the final definitive word on what God is like. The Apostle John says, "No one has seen God at any time. It's the only begotten Son who is near the Father's heart. He has explained him to us." Jesus Christ is the definitive Word of God, and the defining moment of Jesus' life is this moment right here on Good Friday. That's the defining moment of Jesus' life. That Good Friday act of radical forgiveness. If you want one moment in time that defines God, it's this. Being disguised under the disfigurement of an ugly crucifixion and death, Christ upon the cross is paradoxically the clearest revelation of who God is. Do you want to know who God is? Look at that. See, God in Christ upon the tree saying, "Father, forgive them." That's what God is like. But even in this moment, Christ upon the cross, we must be careful to see it right. I have a question for you. In the events of Good Friday, and you know the story, you know what happens. You know the story from Gethsemane to Golgotha to the garden tomb. In that story, who is the one that reveals to us what God is like? Is it the high priest Caiaphas conspiring to kill a scapegoat? Is that what God is like? Shall we understand God through the lens of Caiaphas? Should we say, yes, that's what God is like. God is like Caiaphas conspiring to kill a scapegoat. Or is it Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, handing down his death sentence? Is that what God is like? Is it Pontius Pilate who reveals to us on Good Friday what God is like? Of course not. On Good Friday, as always, God is revealed in Christ. We don't look to Caiaphas, the conspirator. We don't look to Pilate handing down his sentence of execution to discover what God is like. We look at Jesus Christ. That's what God is like. Let's be perfectly clear about this. God is not the one who demanded crucifixion. God was the one who was crucified. God is not the one doing the crucifying. God is the one being crucified. The crucifixion is not what God did. The crucifixion is what God endured. He is the crucified God. Can I be even more emphatic? God did not kill Jesus. We did. Humanity, bound by sin and Satan, killed Jesus. Jesus did not commit suicide. God did not commit homicide. Humanity committed deicide, the murder of God. Jesus did not die for us. Jesus did not die, rather, for God. Jesus died for us. He didn't die for God. He died for us. He bore our sins. Whose sins does he? He bears our sins. The sins that we sinned into him. He bore them. Jesus did not pray, "Father, I forgive you for my unjust death." No. He said, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And of course, the Father says, "Yes, my son, because that is what I am. I am forgiving love. And as you have always perfectly revealed me to the world, the very thing you ask me to do is the very thing that I want to do. It's who I am. Yes, my son, we will forgive because that's what we are. We are forgiving love." What we see at the cross on Good Friday is the supreme revelation of God's love. Oh, how I want you to see this. The crucified God shatters once and for all our primitive, fear-based misconceptions of God. God is not a vengeful tribal deity. God is not a violent man of war. God is not a vengeful angel of death. God is love. and we see it supremely revealed in Jesus Christ. The proof is the crucified God. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the demonstration of God's love. That our sins are sinned into him and he absorbs them. And he doesn't retaliate. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't say, you have sinned into me and sinned against me, and now I will punish you and pay you back. God in Christ absorbs the sin and says, oh, forgive them. And sin finds a place to end and to die in Jesus Christ. God is love. The crucified God is the proof. The crucified God shatters forever the false caricature of a malicious, angry God. The crucified God is love. Suffering love, saving love, enduring love, forgiving love. Look again at the cross. See Jesus nailed to the cross with his crown of thorns. And when we see the king wearing his thorny crown and nailed to his wooden throne, what do we learn? And remember, this is a real coronation. Now, I know that Jesus wears the crown of thorns because soldiers had mocked him. I know that the inscription above his head that says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, was written as an ironic insult. I understand that. But what those soldiers didn't understand, and what Pilate didn't understand, and what Caiaphas didn't understand, is this really was the coronation of the true King of the world. This is not just theater. This is his actual coronation. Jesus Christ is becoming King of the world on Good Friday. When we see the king wearing his thorny crown and nailed to his wooden throne, what do we learn? We learn that the kingdom of God is unlike any other kingdom on earth. It's unlike any other government, unlike any other nation. There's nothing like this. When do you see a king become king like that? When we see the king wearing his thorny crown and nailed to his wooden throne, we learn that the kingdom of God is without coercion. In the kingdom of God, we persuade. We call people to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and to live their lives under his lordship. But our persuasion is by witness, love, spirit, reason, rhetoric, and if necessary, martyrdom, but never by force. And this is what Jesus explained to Pilate when he was being tried. Pilate was curious and said, well, are you a king? Then, is it true? Are you a king? Jesus says, it's as you say. But Jesus also said, but my kingdom is not from this kind of world system. It doesn't come from the same place that your Caesar comes from, or those pharaohs come from, or those other conquering kings come from. My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this way and this world, my servants would be fighting. But as it is, my kingdom is not from the world. Look again. Do you see what Jesus did with the cross? He took an instrument of psychological terror and state-sponsored torture, and that's what the cross was. That's how it was utilized by the Romans. Look at the cross. and see what Jesus did with it. He took an instrument of psychological terror and state-sponsored torture and turned it into the symbol of love and forgiveness. And by the way, conquered the Roman Empire. By his wounds, we are healed. Do you see how that works? Crucifixion was designed to communicate terror and intimidation. But now the cross communicates love and liberation. How many of you perhaps are wearing a cross tonight? How many of you are wearing a cross tonight? That little cross around your neck. It was originally designed to communicate terror and intimidation. But you're not wearing that cross as a symbol of terror and intimidation. It's because Jesus took this cross where he was tortured and executed and killed and wounded. He takes that cross and he turns it into not a symbol of terror and intimidation, but a symbol of love and liberation. By his wounds, we are healed. All because of what Jesus did with that instrument of torture and death on Good Friday. God in Christ allows himself to be tortured and crucified in order to save the oppressed and the oppressor from oppression. I want to say that again. God in Christ allows himself to be tortured and crucified in order to save the oppressed and the oppressor from oppression. In the crucified God, the oppressed find a saving solidarity and human dignity, so that now every person suffering unjustly from oppression has the face of Christ. Every person suffering tonight unjustly has Jesus Christ in solidarity with them. And in the crucified God, the oppressor finds forgiveness, a call to repentance, and the possibility of real transformation. Good Friday is the moment in history when God saves the oppressed and the oppressor. You understand that Jesus in his saving work isn't just saving the oppressed. Without the cross, without what Jesus has done, everything just keeps recycling. And oppressed people, once delivered, become what? Oppressors. Oppressed people become oppressors. But the cycle gets broken here. Because God in Christ, in allowing himself to be tortured and crucified, saves the oppressed and the oppressor from oppression. We find a place for it all to end. Good Friday is the moment in history when God saves the oppressed and the oppressor from oppression. The crucified God does this by suffering in solidarity with the oppressed and by forgiving the sins of the oppressors. At the cross, the crucified God subverts the world of oppression and inaugurates hope for a holy and healed humanity. But now, I'm getting too close to Easter. For to speak of these things, we must speak of Easter. But let us not rush into Easter. Ash Wednesday was 44 days ago. Many of you had an ashen cross upon your head. That was 44 days ago. And we've been on the journey with Jesus toward Jerusalem in his own death. Since Sunday, we've been right in the holy city. With Jesus through all of those events. And now we're into his passion. We can't rush to Easter. It will come. It will come in its own good time, but we can't rush. Not yet. Though we do not say God is dead, on Good Friday we do say God has died. Whatever it means for a human being to suffer death, and death is the very thing that just threatens to make life itself madness, absurd, without meaning. Whatever it means for a human being to experience death, God in Christ fully experienced. The crucified God joins us in solidarity of death. See, we were in here Christmas Eve. And what were we celebrating? The birth of Emmanuel. The coming of God with us. God in Christ with us. He's with us in birth. He's born like we're born. He's with us in birth. He's with us in life. He's with us in struggle. He's with us in pain. He's with us in sorrow. And now, on Good Friday, he's with us in death. The crucified God joins us in solidarity with death. And again, I have to hint towards Sunday that we might join him in solidarity in resurrection. He went into what we all will go into that he might lead us out. He's the one that found the way out. But again, I'm too close to Easter. But for all of this, for any of this to happen, for this cross to have any of its meaning, for there to be anything to celebrate, so that it, for this to happen, God must enter into death. That's the only way we can be saved from it. God must enter into death. And that means Jesus must die. Christmas Eve, we come in here and we light candles. Christmas Eve is the time for the lighting of candles. Not Good Friday. Good Friday is the time for extinguishing candles. The light came into the world. But on Good Friday, after 6 hours of being nailed to the tree, Jesus said with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Stand with me. Christ has died. And now we wait. God bless you. Go in peace.